Welcome to Kenny's G League. You already know this is the only podcast all about the Rip City Remix. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm excited to do a little podcast here talking about the remix in the tip-off tournament, the first 14 games of the season. And then we're going to talk about Young Hansen as well, which has been so much fun to watch. Really excited to talk about him. So let's start by doing just a little review of the remix in the tip-off tournament in case you missed it. So the tip-off tournament, if you don't know, it's the first 14 games of the G League season. They play mostly teams kind of in their same region, right? So like the remix, we're playing teams kind of generally in the West. There's obviously not really any teams in the Pacific Northwest, but, you know, teams like Sacramento and the Clippers and things like that. So they do 14 games, and based on how well teams do in there, when they go to the tip-off tournament, which happens in Florida, you could potentially win the tournament if you are bracketed, you know, whatever it is, top six teams, I think, in each division. You could win the tournament. The remix in the tip-off tournament had 8 wins and 6 losses. They were not eligible to win the tip-off tournament, but they did go to Florida and play a couple games there that did not count towards the record. Now we're into the regular season now that the tip-off tournament is complete, so they'll play the remainder of the season that's called the regular season, and then depending on how they do, they could potentially make the playoffs. So let's talk about kind of some themes we saw in the tip-off tournament, what we're getting to know about the remix. The biggest thing I can emphasize, I think, about play style for the remix is that they shoot a lot of three-pointers. The remix shot 46.6 three-pointers a game in the tip-off tournament. That's number one in the entire G League. 46.6 threes a game. That's a lot, you know, in comparison. The Blazers, as of a couple weeks ago, they've been shooting around 41 threes a game. So, you know, that's pretty darn high. And what I also like to note, I also was wondering what percent of their shots are three-point attempts. I think that's as important to note. 48.8% of all of their field goal attempts were three-point field goal attempts. Again, that's first in the league, so they're darn near 50% of their shots are coming from three-point land. Pretty crazy. And then, of course, as you can imagine, since they're shooting so many three-pointers a game, they're also right up there in field goals attempted per game in the league. They're third in the league in field goals attempted per game at 95.4. All of that combined, that gives them 122.9 points per game on average. That's good for seventh in the league. Now, unfortunately, they're not really the best three-point shooting team percentage-wise. They were 12th in the league in the tip-off tournament, shooting 36.2% on threes. So, you know, that's a big part of why they're not a little bit higher in points per game. They're just kind of a middle-of-the-pack three-point shooting percentage team, but they are getting the shots up for sure. They're also 5th in assists per game, which I think is notable. Dylan Jones is doing a good job there, and recently Sean Padula has been having some great games as well, running the point guard position. They're pretty middle-of-the-pack as a team for rebounding and turnovers, kind of smack dab in the middle there, nothing too notable. So the biggest thing, lots of three-pointers. Out of curiosity, I went and looked and kind of compared some of their shooting trends to the last couple years. So let's check this out. So let's see here. The first season of the remix in 2023-2024, they shot 42.4 threes a game. The next season, they shot almost exactly the same number of games. Now they're up to 46.6. So a slight bump there. And their percent of attempts from three-point land has taken just a very slight bump as well, about a 2% bump from 46% to 48, almost 49%. And then I think probably most notably, besides that, is the number of shots they're getting up a game has continued to climb year after year. The first season of the remix in 23-24, they were shooting 90.9 field goal attempts per game. That was ninth in the league. The next season, they were sixth in the league in field goal attempts per game at 91.5. This year, they shot up to third in the league at 95.4. And then I think what can be, you know, an interesting thing about the G League as a whole is that oftentimes, the G League affiliate team can kind of show a trend of what perhaps the NBA team might want to do down the line, or sometimes they're just straight up mirroring it at the same time. So out of curiosity, I went and looked at what the Blazers have been doing in those same, that same time frame. So let's see here. The Blazers' percent of field goal attempts from three-point land has continued to climb pretty massively. So the first year that the remix existed, 2023-2024, the Blazers were down 24th in the league of three-point percentage of attempts. So they were shooting about 37% of all of their field goal attempts from three-point land, 24th in the league. The next season, they were shooting 41.8% of their shots from three-point land. That's a little more middle of the pack, 17th in the league. And then this season, these stats are from a couple weeks ago, they're shooting about 45% of their shots from three-point land. And that's fifth in the league. So continually climbing. And the same goal goes for field goal attempts as well. The Blazers went from 10th place in field goal attempts a game in 23-24 to ninth place, although that was a pretty negligible change. And then this season, 91.9 field goal attempts a game. They're right up there in, you know, top of the league, second in the league. So continually climbing, and that certainly matches kind of what the remix have been trying to do as well. Now, on the defensive end, I think it's been kind of an interesting year for the remix, because certainly the Blazers started out the season, you might remember, really putting a lot of ball pressure in the basically full court pressure, really. And that's kind of tapered off a little bit. And the remix have some very capable defenders and do that sometimes. But the remix have also been without two of their two-way players the entire season. Caleb Love hasn't played a game for the remix yet. Sidy Sissoko hasn't played a game for the remix either. And Javante Cook has played in just a handful. So they've been without the two-way players the entire season, essentially, except for Javante Cook. Pretty wild, because I think both of those guys would clearly fit what the remix are doing. Caleb Love certainly is not shy as a shooter, and I mean, he would fit right into what the remix are doing right now. And Sidy Sissoko, I think, again, as kind of a defender type guy, you know, certainly a unique player from Toumani Kamara, but, you know, we kind of are familiar with that style of defender. Both of those guys would fit so well on this team, and I think we're seeing why they've been able to fit in really well with the Blazers, right? Like, the remix and the Blazers certainly have a lot of similarities, and they kind of follow each other's paths a little bit as far as play style. And I think we're seeing kind of the fruits of that right now with both of those players, Caleb Love and Sidy Sissoko. You know, they've been having a great stretch with the Blazers, and even though they haven't played with the remix, you know, I think kind of having that similar style and kind of looking for guys that will be able to fit what the team identity is really important. You know, you want to put guys in spots where they can thrive rather than, you know, kind of selecting players that you might like the potential of, but maybe they don't fit what you want to do. So I like, I've been really enjoying seeing both of those guys thrive recently, even though I hate to admit it, I was skeptical a little bit on Sidy Sissoko specifically. I have to apologize for that one. He's been awesome. Sidy Sissoko has been playing so great for the Blazers. I'm happy to be wrong. I love being wrong when it means that the teams that I follow are better. That's great. CD Soko's having an awesome year. I will be curious if the Blazers find a way to get him on a regular contract down the line. I don't know, but I think of Dwight Reith. He certainly proved himself a while back with the Blazers, and they said, hey, we got to bring you up on a regular contract. They signed him to an extension that he's still on. I believe he's in the last year of his extension, just off the top of my head. So would not surprise me in the least if the Blazers choose to do that as well. I think both of those guys have proven themselves to be contributors in the NBA. I'll be rooting for them, certainly, to you know, get their payday. Yeah, they've been awesome. Now, I also really wanted to talk about Young Hansen today. He is probably my favorite story of the year. Really unique player that I think in some ways is a little bit misunderstood in general, perhaps. So I'm going to rewind to draft day for a moment, because I think it was probably the most exciting draft day for me personally in I don't even know how long since the Blazers got Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't know. I'm just going off the top of my head here. Draft day comes around. My general strategy for Blazers draft day stuff, I enjoy kind of the ride of it, if you will. So what I like to do at draft day, I don't really watch college sports so much. You know, I'm too stuck on the G League. What are you going to do? I know all the G League guys, but I don't really follow college sports terribly closely. And I certainly don't follow the Chinese Basketball Association closely. So what I like to do, I do a little bit of research, find out the guys that people seem to think the Blazers are interested in, watch videos, get to know them a little bit, you know, get familiar with who they are, what they kind of do, what people like about them, what people don't like about them. And I just kind of have this list of guys that might be connected to the Blazers. Maybe they've brought them in for workouts, things like that. So the Blazers are on the clock. I'm watching TV. I'm not spoiling it for myself by looking online. They select Cedric Howard. I say, great, that's one of the guys that I really liked. He just seems like a winner. Seems like an easy guy to root for. He's got the Northwest connections and all of that. Going to school at Willamette briefly. You know, seems like an easy pick. Good player. Sure, he's maybe a little bit older, but you can certainly see the talent there, and he's an easy guy to root for. And then I realize, as I continue watching, no, they've traded the pick. Who's it going to be? Who are they trading this pick for? The 16th pick and a future pick. And with the 16th pick, they select Young Hansen, who I had no idea who he was, although the Blazers did bring him in for a workout, and I do remember reading that. He seems shocked in the stands. I'm shocked sitting at home on my couch. And then I get to go learn about Young Hansen. So, I don't know what other people were expecting out of Young in his young NBA career so far. But in my opinion, it's been pretty par for the course, I guess I should say, for a young player. I think he turned 20 the day after the draft, that's never really played basketball against, you know, very much competition from America, right? Young players are always having ups and downs. There's nothing really out of the ordinary beyond that. So what I've been most curious to watch for with Young, both with the Blazers and with the Remix, is kind of just what his skills are. Right? What do they like from Young that they hope can scale up, right? So he's played some games with the Remix now. He's obviously played some games with the Blazers, and I think we see pretty clearly what he has right now and what they hope he has in the future. The biggest thing to me as I watch him play is just his vision. I think that's huge. He has really great and honestly pretty unique court vision, especially at his size. He's an excellent passer. Really fun to watch him see the court, you know, one of the things that we saw immediately from Yong, and this goes back to NBA Summer League, was they can give him the ball, kind of the top of the key, and he can watch traffic happen and make a read depending on how guys are cutting and all of that. And it's really unique. You know, he's 7'1". He has the ball at the top of the key. I think it was the first play in Summer League. He has the ball there, kind of three-point line. Maybe he might have been a step inside the three-point line. And he gets a fantastic pass, right? Assist right off the bat. It's great. And the Remix have done that a bunch where they kind of let him direct traffic. And you can see him literally pointing on the court to where he wants guys to go. It's really unique. I think that is exactly the type of thing that they want him to do. And with the Remix, they allow him to do that a little bit more than he can with the Blazers, obviously. Really unique passing game, really great vision. And he also has some nice post moves. You know, I don't know what that's going to look like in the NBA, because so far from what I've seen of his post game, it's almost a little bit of a throwback. Like, he has to, you know, some of his best post moves are several steps involved, right? So it's like a dribble, a pivot the other way, a ball fake, then he goes up the other side of the basket. Whereas I think you most often see players kind of do very quick one move post moves rather than kind of like this series of events that takes place. And so that, you know, might change at some point down the line, because I think it's probably a little too slow for the modern NBA. I may be wrong on that, but that's kind of what it feels like to me. But I think those are his two immediate skills that I see. His great passing game, and he's got some post moves, and obviously he can shoot it as well. I should have mentioned that. He's very happy to take a three every now and then. It's really cool to see. And so, you know, I've been going and kind of rewatching some of these highlights. I think his second game with the Remix, if you go watch those highlights against the South Bay Lakers, he really showed a lot of his skills right off the bat. So, like, you know, he's posting up Drew Timmy and making him look silly. You know, the tough thing is that there aren't a lot of Drew Timmys in the NBA, you know? So can that be scaled up? But it is something that he made them look a little silly right off the bat. So, like, he's having a great game there. He sometimes has trouble with his footwork on defense. He can be a little slow on defense. And then he's clearly been really trying to make an effort to go straight up on defense by the basket so that he doesn't get the foul called. He has a tendency to bring those arms down like a lot of young centers do. So, you know, I think that's something to watch for. But the skill is there, the potential is there. You know, in a lot of these games with the Remix, he's making such good reads. They're double teaming him in the post. It's really incredible, and he's making fantastic passes. So, like, he'll be doubled and someone will cut to the basket and he'll make a no-look pass. We saw a no-look pass when he was with the Blazers yesterday against the Rockets, a half-court no-look pass. Like, these are not things that you're working out in practice, you know? I don't think they're spending a lot of time in practice on half-court no-look passes, you know what I mean? So he's got these skills kind of inherently that are really exciting. Also worth noting, he has some huge clutch baskets for the Remix as well. Really, really cool. So I think he's an exciting player, you know, and I think that's part of the fun part of watching basketball, is watching young players that clearly have a ton of potential and seeing what happens. I don't know if he becomes, you know, Chinese Jokic, like he's been labeled, or if he becomes a passable NBA player, or something else happens. I really have no idea, but I think watching the progression is really super fun, and he's one of those players that, to me, it feels like the more playing time he gets, the more comfortable he gets out there, which is awesome. Really fun player to watch. It's interesting that in the G League, oftentimes the players that do go on to have impactful NBA careers, they're not always the guys in the G League that are lighting it up for 30 points a game. They can be, but that's often not the case, you know? The thing that I enjoy watching in the G League is seeing what skills a guy has, and can they be leveled up, you know? Players in the G League that are putting up 30, 40-point games, they can be great players as well. That can totally happen. But oftentimes when they get called up to the NBA, they're not going to be asked to shoot that many times in a game. You know, they're going to be asked to have much smaller roles, scaled down. And can they thrive in that? And I think that'll be the thing to watch for with Young Hanson. Can he thrive in a small minutes role next on the Blazers? Because I think we see all the skills that he has. Now, can he kind of do that in a pared down fashion? I hope so, because I think he's a really unique, fun player. To end the episode, I just wanted to shout out Blake Hinson on the Remix, who, you know, in the absence of the two-way guys that they've been missing, he's been having a fantastic season. He's been putting up 25.5 points a game, shooting 44.5% from three on 10 attempts per game, 4.5 rebounds, 3 assists. Really unique player. You know, I think he's probably... He looks like an NBA player to me. You know what I mean? A lot of players oftentimes might be a little too small for the NBA sometimes. Blake Hinson, I'm curious if he gets a call up at some point, because he's been balling the entire season, looking really good, shooting it really well from three. I think that's such a huge, huge, huge thing for a team like the Remix that's kind of middling in three-point percentage. He's having a great season from three. And really, Javonte Cook, the two-way player that has played in a good chunk of games, I think he's played 8 games, 22 points a game. He's shooting three relatively well. You know, he's putting up some good numbers, 36% from three, and also 5 rebounds a game. He's had some excellent games. A taller kind of point guard player, you know, he's 6'6". I think he's kind of filling the role of DB Hooper, you might remember. He kind of reminds me of him a little bit. Yeah, so I wanted to shout out those two guys. They've had some great moments for the Remix this year. If you go to a game in person, I think Blake Hinson can really impress you if you go to a game in person. That'll do it for today. I'll see you on the next one. Thanks so much for listening. Truly, I appreciate it. You can follow Kenny's G League on Instagram and Blue Sky.